Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from the movement.
Hey, welcome. We're a brand new series called My Church, and I'm excited about this. It's going to be a three-week series, and I believe that you want to be a part of every single one. Listen, a series is kind of like a book. And each Sunday we cover different chapters. So if you come chapter 2, you got to listen to the podcast. So if you're here today, don't miss the next 3 weeks. I promise you God's going to do something miraculous. In fact, can we just take a minute and pray a very holy and spiritual prayer? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Dear Heavenly Father, help the Seahawks win today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So now that we got that out of the way, oh man, some of you are already ready to leave the church. Hey, I'm in all black because the Cowboys aren't there. So just, you know, mourn with me and cheer for the Seahawks. Amen. We'll try to get you out on time so you can get to your parties and everything like that. But I want to tell you about this series, man. I'm telling you, God wants to do something crazy. And I think it came from the idea that sometimes we don't realize that God uniquely designed us with purpose. And each of our purpose is woven together for a greater good. And what would happen if you and I collaborated for his purpose to build his kingdom, to do what he wants us to do? Man, the potential is limitless. And I always think it's funny how possessive we get of things that aren't really ours. We'll say, man, that's my Starbucks, right? I have a Starbucks, my Starbucks. Camino del Avion and Golden Lantern. I know all the baristas. I've invited them to church. That's where I work. That's my Starbucks, right? Some of you say, that's my team playing in the Super Bowl today, right? That's how many of you Seahawks, real Seahawks fans? Let me hear you screaming here. Yeah, all right. Half of you are lying, but that's okay. That's my team, right? You are dating your girlfriend, or you are dating her, and you've got my song. That's my jam, boo. That's my jam, right? I don't know when you grew up and when you were dating, but that's my song. But the word my, literally, it means it's possessive, right? It means that I have ownership in something, or that I have a stake in that I actually have skins in that thing that I'm saying is mine. And listen, guys, the Seahawks are not your team. They lose tonight. You just mourn tomorrow and pray. Say, it's a rebuilding year. It's a rebuilding. Cowboys been saying that for 20 freaking years. We're rebuilding. If your Starbucks shuts down, you just go to another one. It's not your Starbucks. You don't have ownership in your Starbucks. And if you do, then you only go to that Starbucks, right? That song is not your song. You get zero royalties from that song. Nothing. In fact, every time you listen to it, somebody else benefits, but it is not your song, right? We take ownership. We become possessive as though we have a claim staked in that, and it's not really even that important. What do we have ownership in? Well, one thing that we do have ownership in is family, right? You know, I have ownership in family. Like my father, he calls me or texts me every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, hey, Pastor, or not Pastor, but hey, Carrie, Care Bear is what he calls me. Don't judge me. It's what he does. Just go ahead and go home. Every Sunday, hey, Care Bear, I'm praying for you. I just listened to your podcast. Great message. You can probably tweak this, but everything else was so good. I'm praying for you. I'm believing that God's going to do something powerful in your life and in the church's life. And I read that text. I go, that's my dad. That's my dad. When I was a kid, we played sports all growing up. And my brother, my oldest brother, my only older brother, is 10 years older. And we'd play sidewalk or, you know, we'd go play football with my friends in the middle of the street. And then when my brother would come home, he would come out to play. He would be quarterback every time. And I would say, that's my brother. Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin connection here. Nobody? Let's bring back the 90s. Come on. I'm just trying to bring in some cowboy stuff. That's my brother, right? Hey, listen, I've got two kids. I've got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. And last night, my 5-year-old took a shower, and she got on a princess dress. It was bedtime, but she put on a princess dress, and my 10-year-old did a Katniss Everdeen braid, and she came out batting her eyelashes like this with a big bow, and she goes, Dad, and I look at her, and I go, oh, babe, you are so beautiful, and she goes, watch this dance, Dad, and she's like falling over, and I'm like, oh, that is an amazing dance. Why? Because she is my kid. I've got ownership there, right? My 10-year-old performed in a play, and she was Peter Pan, and I had to watch it via Skype, but I watched it, and as they sang, and it doesn't sound good because they can't really sing, but that's my kid. When she gets bad grades, I'm like, that's your kid, babe. What? No, I don't say that. That's my kid. Why? Because I have ownership there. She is mine. I helped create her, right? She's my child. I have ownership in her. I have a stake in that claim. I've got skins in that game. You know that God looks at you the same way. He has ownership in you. He's got a staked claim in you. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 John verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. It says this: see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. You and I, we're his creation. He stays up late working long hours just for you. He knows exactly what's going on in your world from the good to the bad. He wakes up in the morning thinking about you. You're his child. He has ownership in you. He says, that is my kid. He's got skins in that game. You know why? Because he gave his kid for you and for me. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. It says this: you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Why? Because there was a thing called sin that separates us from God. And God said, you know what? I'm going to remedy this. I'm going to pay the ransom for the sin and give my son Jesus for all of mankind. He paid the ultimate price. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. There's skins in this game, man. He has ownership in you and in your life. He has ownership in my life. And not only that, but he created you to live an abundantly full life, full of uniquely designed purpose. And he has that for all of mankind. From the greatest sinner to the least of the sinners. From the oldest to the youngest. All of mankind, he has purpose and grace and redemption and love. He gave Jesus so that we could live life. He gave us a purpose so that we could live a fulfilled life. And guess what? That's the ownership he has in you. And guess who he chose to be the mouthpiece, the marketing campaign to give the message of purpose and life and hope? You and his church. The plot thickens right here, right now. You were not created to live a mundane life. You were not created to merely attend a church. You are the church. You know, I don't attend my family. I belong to my family. And you know what? I don't get to choose that my daughter is not my daughter if she gets bad grades or she does something disappointing. She's my daughter. We deal with the crappy stuff and we deal with the good stuff. How many of you have that family member that you're just like, oh, raise your hand? You're like, ah, oh, that one, raise your hand right now. If you do not have your hand raised, you are that family member. Congratulations. That just happened. The plot thickens, right? So God created us and intricately designed us to be a part of proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the mouthpiece for that is his family. His family is the church. That's why we tell you week in and week out, church is about so much more than attending. It's about belonging. Each of us has a part to play. Each of us has a part in his intricate design to bring hope to mankind. And you're here today at the Movement Church. Many of you call this place home. Some of you were dragged here and promised that there are some good-looking guys. I'm sorry, they're all taken. No, I'm kidding. You know, I don't know how you got here. Maybe somebody said we're going to go to a party afterwards and get some food and watch the Super Bowl, but we're glad that you're here. I want to tell you this, though. You're about to find out what the Movement Church is about. And if you call this place home, you need to know why we exist and what we're called to do. Why we're called to live a certain way and what God has put before us as a plan and a purpose for our life. And you say, well, what if the Movement Church isn't for me? That's okay. We'll help you find a good church. Because your life and your purpose is attached to the local church. I'm one of seven kids. And all of us now are married and have our own family. But we belong to one big family. Each individual family has our own cultural dynamics, the way that we raise our kids, the kind of foods that we like, how we celebrate holidays. But we're all one big family. We're a part of God's church. There's a lot of great churches meeting around this city and this county right now, all accomplishing the same purpose, to help people find hope and life in Christ and to help people find purpose. So why do we exist? Why is the movement church here? Why did God say, hey, in 2012, get started because I've got a plan for you? Well, we exist for one reason and one reason only. The movement church exists to inspire the one far from God to find life in Christ and life in church. The movement church exists to help inspire the one far from God to find life in Christ and life in church. Listen to this. Mark 16, 15 gives us this commission. It says this, and he said, which is Jesus, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. This is why we exist. We are not a country club for people who say, I'm a Christ follower. We are not here to try to make everyone's life amazing with butterflies and unicorns. That is not why we're here. Now, we want to have fun in the journey, but we exist to inspire the one. We start with the individual. We're not trying to build a big church. We're trying to help people find Jesus. We exist to inspire the one who is far from God to find life in Christ. What does that mean? That I have hope for tomorrow, that I have a future, that I'm not left alone, that God has something more for me, that I can have a life and a purpose. Life in church is a purpose. That's so I can live life to the fullest. This is why we exist. And you need to know that, because there may be a day, movement church member, where I ask you to give up your seat. Because if there's people outside this door, outside of this building that are far from God, there, and we fill this place to capacity, I may come in and say, hey, I know you're a member, thank you for being part, but I need you to sit in the hallway by the speaker, because this person right here, it's their first time here, and you need to just know, hey, that's coming my way. And don't get angry at me. Don't get angry at me. That was a great time to clap. That is awesome. Don't get angry. Why? Because we exist to inspire the one who's far from God to find life in Christ and life in the church. That's why we're here. Man, we're headed at life speed towards eternity, man. And I'm telling you, one day we'll stand before Jesus and he's going to say, hey, did you say yes to me or not? And that answer will dictate a lot. If you're in this room and you're going to heaven, man, our job, our prerogative is to take as many people with us as we can. And that's why we exist. So how are we going to do that? We're going to build environments where people can encounter the true and living God. That's what we're here to do. That's what Sunday is about. Sunday is about building an environment where people can experience an amazing Shamu on the wall and hopefully encounter the true and living God. That's why we're here, which means this. If that's going to take place, then that means that you and I, that we have to live to this purpose right here, that we will love Jesus, passionately live for Jesus, and point people to Jesus. That's why we jam out for the first 20 minutes of every service, because it ain't about you. It's about saying, God, you are awesome. That's why Jeremy sings so loud and they go so crazy. That's why some people clap their hands, and that's why we do this action right here. Because music moves you, baby, right? And so we're passionate about that. Listen, we're passionate about where we work and how we do family and how we live life. And we love Jesus with everything that we are. We are unashamedly about Jesus. Not any other God, not any other principle, not feeling good. But we are unashamedly about Jesus. And in that, we're going to point people to him. Why? Why? Because that's why we're here, to point people to Jesus, to say, hey, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. It's not about just building financial security. It's not about pursuing your corporate dreams and desires. It's not about trying to feel good and just eat healthy, but everyone needs Jesus. And that is what we're about first and foremost. We preach Jesus. We read about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. Your kids is learning about Jesus. Everything we do is about Jesus. And then food, and then Jesus. You need to know that. That's what we do. Why? Because he has skins in this game. Right? He has skins in this game. He paid the price. I am a child of God because I was bought with a price. Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? He's got skins in this game. So how are we going to do that? I have to live my life as a lifestyle of worship. The way that I think, the way that I act, the decisions that I make, before I lean to my own intellect and understanding, I go right here. Hey, Jesus, what do you want me to do? I don't know how to handle this scenario. I don't know how to handle the situation. I got a big job. I got this job opportunity. I've got this job opportunity. And I don't want to just make my own decision. Jesus, what do you want me to do? I wake up in the morning saying, God, how can I please you today? How can I think the way that Jesus wants me to think and live the way that he wants me to live? Why? Because that's passionately living for him. And in that, by our lifestyle, we are pointing people to Jesus. Which means, if we're going to do that, we have to recognize that we are not perfect, but we will grow, cultivating transformation through devouring God's word. Man, I want to just stress this really quickly. We are not perfect. All of us are just a little bit jacked up. If you're in your hand and you're a little jacked up, would you raise your hand? If you didn't raise your hand, you're the most jacked up, and we're praying for you and judging you. No, I'm kidding. Hey, look at me. We don't sit in the seat of judgment ever at the Movement Church. There is no prerequisite to walking in the doors of this building. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your faith background is. All of us are just a little jacked up. None of us are perfect, but we will choose to grow. Cultivating transformation. The word cultivating, it's the idea of the soil being cultivated to plant seeds so that a harvest can be reaped. So that means that we live a life, whether you've known Jesus for 2 weeks, 2 years, or 2 decades, that none of us have reached the apex, the pinnacle, but all of us will make a determination that we will grow. And not just through great thinking and good vibes, but what? Through cultivating transformation, through devouring God's word. I love what the scripture says in Romans 12, 2. It says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind. What does that mean? It means, hey, look at me. I know you are brilliant. You're amazingly good looking and talented, but you still need to renew your mind because what's in here may not always be what God has for you or for me. All of us are just a little jacked up. So when I get in the word and allow God's word to transform the way that I think, the way that I act, listen to me, the way that I believe, it affects the way that I live. You want to be a better wife? Get into the word and say, God, would you just, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you help me to see my husband the way that you do? You want to be a better student? Get in the word in the morning. And say, God, I just want to be the best that I possibly can. Hey, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is that? That's transformed the way that I think through the scriptures. So we will cultivate transformation by devouring God's word. And that might be challenging for some of you because you might go to your Bible app on your phone or dust off that leather-bound book that sat on the shelf because your grandfather gave it to you, and you're like, I don't know how to do this. So you flip through and do this thing, and it's like, you know, you are a horrible person. Or you don't know where to start. We can help you with that. But I want to tell you right now, begin the journey. Begin the journey. Because here's the truth. Jesus loves us exactly as we are, but he loves us way too much to let us stay this way. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've known God. You're just a little bit jacked up. All of us are just one decision away from stupid. And if you think that you're not, then you better start praying right now. Are you tracking with me? We're just one decision away. Listen, I don't know about you, but I was raised in the church. I said yes to Jesus October 16th, 1986. I was 6 years old. And I walked away from the way that I should have lived. And made stupid decisions that hurt people's lives. None of us are perfect. So we've got to make this part of the anthem of our life that we're going to grow. We're not going to stay the same. We're going to cultivate transformation. We're going to devour God's word. We will not be judgmental ever in any circumstances. We will not gossip. We will not slander. That's not what we do. Why? Because none of us are perfect. All of us need the grace that only Jesus can give. And listen, if we're doing this, if we're passionately living for Jesus, we're pointing people to Jesus, and we're cultivating growth and transformation, then we realize that church is about so much more than Sundays. So we will find strength through authentic relationships. Hey, listen to me. You are not strong enough to do this on your own. You're not. And I know many of you are, you're very skilled. You've got great talents. You're disciplined. And you know how to make something of yourself. But there's something that can happen in you and to you and through you when you get around somebody else who's got the same trajectory for their life. You're not strong enough to do this on your own. Hey, that's not even a biblical principle. If we were strong enough to do this on our own, then after God created Adam, he would not have said this: it is not good that man should be alone. He realized, I've got something that man needs. I am the creator of the universe. I love him and he will love me, but he also needs human interaction. Church happens between Sundays. This is the party celebrating last week and the pep rally for the week to come. But church happens between Sundays through connections. Hey guys, life change has always happened within the context of relationships. Always within the context of relationships. You might experience something through a sermon or through a worship journey, through a great book or a quote or a movie, but life change happens when you get with somebody that you're a good friend with. And you allow them to challenge you and to champion your cause. And we're committed to building and finding strength through authentic relationships. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this: and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So why? Why do we need relationships? Because you can help me see my blind spots. And hey, listen to me. Everybody here has blind spots. You know what a blind spot is, right? It's the area of weakness in you that you can't see. It may be the way that you handle pressure. It may be the way that you react to financial crisis. It may be the way that you talk to your wife when you're angry or upset. It may be the way that you handle finals week when school is cramping down and you don't know what to do. And you need somebody that can say, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but you have issues. I'm kidding, but not really. You help me see blind spots. The greatest friends in my life are the ones that say, hey, Carrie, I want to just challenge what you just said. I don't know if that's necessarily a biblical principle. I think God's got a better plan. I just want to say, I love you, but you know what? You might be wrong here. You need someone in your life to see your blind spots. You need someone in your life to make it through a difficult season. And you need someone in your life to celebrate the good times. So find strength in authentic relationships. Listen, connect groups start in just a few days. When you leave this building, the connect group leaders will be out there saying, hey, come to my group. It's awesome. We're going to eat this and pay you $8 million. It's going to be awesome. Sign up. Well, I tried one last year and it was quite strange. Okay, go to a different one. Sometimes people are weird, even in church. So don't make excuses. Get in a connect group. And can I just challenge you? Pray about leading one the next semester. Pray about leading one. Stop holding people at a distance and expecting God to change some of the deepest issues that you walk through. We find strength through authentic relationships. If we love Jesus and we're growing our faith and we're strengthening our relationships, then the response should naturally be, we're going to do something. If we're growing our time with the Lord and we're building authentic relationships. I didn't change it, did I? I apologize. Then our response should be that we will lead the way with radical generosity, reaching the hopeless and the hurting, both locally and globally, because we can. Hey, we're not going to be a country club for Christ followers. We exist to inspire the one far from God to find life in Christ and life in church. Yeah. And if we're allowing God to do work inside of us, then we better have a response. Yeah. It's not an obligation. It's a response to love. When you walk into the room and my 5-year-old daughter's there, if she's met you more than 2 times like Olaf from Frozen, she's going to run up to you with her big old tiny arms and wrap them around you and just say, hey, I'm so glad that you're here. Why? Because she has a response innately in her that responds to who you are as a person. From the depths of who she is, she loves people. The other day I said, who's your best friend? And she named a person. I said, what about this person? Well, they're my best friend too. What about that person? Well, they're my best. She named the whole school roster. Why? Because there's such a deep and a sincere love inside of her that the response is natural. And she just wants you to feel love the way that she feels love. If you are a Christ follower and you're growing in your faith and you're building authentic relationships, the response should be that we're going to do something. And you need to know at the Movement Church, we will lead the way with radical generosity, which means if we're going to reach the one, there may be a day I come and say, hey, would you give up your seat? Thank you so much, because I got some brand new people who have never been here before, and they need a place to sit. And it may be a time when I come forward and say, guys, we're going to take an offering, believe it, we're going to build a feeding center in South Africa where kids can come and get a hot meal every day. And guess what? You may never see their face. But we're going to lead the way with radical generosity. Why? Because God has done something inside of us so real, so rich, and so pure that we will respond with love and with action. We will lead the way. And so if that is challenging for you, we love you. But the Movement Church may not be your home. You might need to find a place where you can sit down quietly and casually and never do anything but feel good. Don't hate me. I'm just telling you who we are. You need to know what your church exists to do. Why we're here. So that you can be a part of it. Because your purpose and my purpose and Jeremy's purpose and Clay's purpose and Victoria's purpose is woven together to accomplish something amazing. And there's always got to be a response. You know, I have a few more things on my notes, but I want to switch gears for a moment. I fear that maybe the church in general has gotten into a consumer mentality where church is about what I get out of it and what I need. And our lives are a reflection of that. Instead of living a life that says, how can I help? Who can I inspire? Who can I touch? Who can I lead? Who can I help? Who are the hurting? Who are the hopeless? It may not just be children in Africa. It may be someone down the street from you, four doors down, who just like you pulls into the garage, closes it behind them, and you never see them unless they happen to get their mail at the same time that you do. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe their marriage is falling apart. Because we don't activate this side of our life, this side of radical generosity, that it means it's going to hurt a little bit sometimes. I'm going to have to make a few sacrifices. I'm going to have to do some things that I may not want to do. But this is a response to God's work in me. Can I just be honest and transparent with you for a moment? Do you know why I stand here? It's not because I just love to preach or I've always wanted to be a senior pastor. No, it's because I've wavered off of the track. I know many of you have heard my story before. I was a leader in a church and a follower of Christ, and I made decisions to pursue the desires of my own flesh. Got involved in a relationship with a married woman before I was married to my wife. Led to the destruction of that marriage. And almost the destruction of my purpose. But some men gathered around and said, you're not done. It was stupid. It's not acceptable, but you're not done. God has a purpose for you. They gathered around and said, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through this thing. The feelings of condemnation and doubt were overwhelming. And then a flood of grace and hope and life through Jesus came in. And I thought, man, if this is possible for me and I'm jacked up, then I want other people to experience the same thing. So I will lead the way with radical generosity so that maybe people can experience hope in life like I have. Like I have. One more story and I'll wrap up, which means 20 more minutes. We've been my wife and I have been in ministry 15 years now, and the first 12 years was in youth ministry, and there was just two kids that came to church, and they were the biggest challenge we'd ever had. I mean, like, this kid ran at me one time and did like this flying ninja kick to try to kick me in the face, and love of Jesus, and my elbow helped him out, this kid smoked pot in the bathroom at the church one Wednesday night. I'm like, you're an idiot. There's a cop outside of the bathroom. He came to me and goes, hey, so-and-so's smoking pot in the bathroom. Do you want me to arrest him? I go, no, let me, grab him in a headlock. And I'm like, no, I didn't punch him. I take him out. We're talking to him. And his sister would come and just sit in the back room and not talk to anybody. They did this for like a year. And I found out their backstory. I've shared it a couple of times here. Their father and mom moved out into a trailer in the middle of a field with no electricity, no running water. And he made them, with a spoon and a pan, dig for water outside like a well. The ages of 8 and 10. An uncle at one point pulled both of them into a room and molested one, made the other one watch, and then made them switch. Talk about that's how do you come back from that, right? And so they would come, and he was the biggest troublemaker ever. And she would sit quietly and do nothing. And I was like, why do you guys even come? And she said, it's because it's the only place that I experience love. And I thought, I thought this. Where would they be if it wasn't for the church? Who would love them? Who would be a warm Olaf hug? Who would be in their life to say, I believe in you. You have purpose. This may be horrible, but God has a future. Where would they be without the church? That's why we exist. That the one far from God can find life in Christ and life in the church. And that's for everyone. The down and out, the destitute, the successful, the bankrupt, the healthy marriages, and the weak ones. That's why we exist. And you are a part of that. The question is, what role do you play? What role do you play? Who is the Alex that you're called to inspire? Are you in a position of leadership or doing something with your life that when that individual comes in, that young girl, that you can tell her about hope and who Jesus is? This is why we exist. Thank God. Because all of us need the hope, a future, and a life. And you are a part of it. So don't sit back. Be a part of the mission for the Movement Church. And if this isn't the right church, you let us know. Find the right church for you. But be a part of it. Because I believe that this is how we change the world. Little over 3 million people in Orange County, only 10% attend church. 2.7 million people may not know the hope of who Jesus is. They may not know that their marriage can make it. They may be like little Alexes who just need somebody to say, I believe in you and I love you and it's okay. What if we could be that? We may not reach 2.7 million. We may not even reach 10%, 270,000, but our mission in our first 10 years is to inspire 27,000 people to find life in Christ and life in the church. Well, that seems kind of ridiculous, Pastor Kerry. This may not be the church for you. We're kind of idealists around here, and we'd rather aim for the stars and miss than aim for a pile of doo-doo and hit it. what if you took your everyday ordinary life and I take my everyday ordinary life and we collaborate for God's purpose and say yes, conspiring the one far from God to find life in Christ and life in the church. We may, just may, be able to change the world. Amen? Hey, can I talk to some of you who are here and you may feel like that one? You may feel like that one, that there's a huge separation, a chasm, a cap, a gap that's separating you from who God is. When you heard me share my story of experiencing grace and hope and love, you say, man, I've heard of that, but I don't know of what that is. You know, the Bible talks about that gap, calls it a sin gap. And all of us have sin in our life. Remember, none of us are perfect. And the Bible says that there is a consequence for sin. It's death and an eternity in hell, which is very sobering. But the Bible also offers a radical solution. The Bible calls it a gift, and it's free for you and for me. You don't have to be perfect to receive it. That gift is Jesus. He came and he lived on this earth a sinless life. And he paid the ransom for your sin and for mine. It closed the gap. And you don't have to be perfect to receive that. All you have to do is say, yes, I want to be yours. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're here and you've never made that declaration, let's close that gap and start this journey. This will be the last time you'd have to say, I'm far from God. It's time to let him do something amazing in your life. And if you're here and you've been running from God, today's the day to come back. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seats. Just right where you're at in your own heart, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. But don't leave here the same. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around. No one moving. If you're here and you've never prayed that prayer, or it's time to come back to Jesus right now in your own seat, in your own heart, just say this. Say, dear God, I know you love me. I know you've given me purpose. But God, I'm a little bit jacked up. I've got sin in my life. Thank you for sending Jesus. Would you forgive me? And all around this room, just say this phrase. Say, Jesus, I want to be yours. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.